Welcome to Basic Gospel, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and we're live on the air right now with the Basic Gospel. Keep listening. You'll hear how the Basic Gospel intersects with your daily life and how the Word of God can help you experience true life and freedom in Jesus Christ. Have a question, something you'd like to talk about? The phone lines are open and they're yours right now. 1-800-677-9377. Call now, 1-800-677-9377. It's Basic Gospel. Hear it, believe it, live it. Now here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. Basic Gospel, the first word. Richard and I were talking about this afternoon, and I love how you described it as the first word, is forgiveness.
Yes.
If you know anything about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, forgiveness is the first word that comes to mind. Jesus Christ died for our sin so that we could be forgiven. And that's what many people walk the aisle to receive. You know they need forgiveness. They know they're sinners. They know that something has to give, and they hear this message of Christ, and they walk an aisle. Their hearts are tugged. They walk down the aisle to receive forgiveness of sins. But that's part of the story. That's not the whole gospel. The whole gospel is the death, the burial, and resurrection. Uh-huh. We receive forgiveness, and we receive life. And that's probably the missing half in so many people's understanding as far as the gospel is concerned. They miss the life aspect of salvation. But that's really why Jesus Christ was raised, so that we could have life. But last Friday, we were talking about forgiveness, and obviously we hit a nerve in a lot of people's minds. Yes. We had a couple of folks that called and said they just totally disagreed that, boy, for us to be forgiven, we have to feel sorry and ask God to forgive us. And then there were other people that called in and said, thank you for talking about the complete and total forgiveness of sins that we have in Christ Jesus. So it is one of those issues that really polarizes, I think, Christians. And why it does is because we all know we need forgiveness.
Yes.
That's not an issue. We all know we need that. The real dividing point is, how do we obtain forgiveness? That's the issue. And when you read the Bible, you see there's no other way to obtain forgiveness than through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Hebrews chapter 9 puts it this way: without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. So apart from Christ's work on the cross, it would be impossible for us to be forgiven. We could plead our case, we could say we're sorry, we could ask for forgiveness, but apart from the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. That's the only currency, so to speak, that God recognizes when it comes to forgiveness of sins. So Jesus shed his blood once and for all. Now, a lot of people don't like hearing that because they think what you're saying is that you can just go out and do anything that you want to. You tell people that they're forgiven of their sins, they'll just go live like the devil. And that was the criticism on last Friday's program. And that's okay. That's, you know, you can understand that. But I think that shows forth a lack of understanding of the gospel. And I want to read a couple of passages today, and then we want to talk about forgiveness more. We invite you to call if you have questions about forgiveness of sins, how to obtain forgiveness of sins, what to do once we sin today. Call. Go ahead and get in line right now, 1-800-677-9377, 1-800-677-9377. We want to talk about it because I think it's the most important issue facing every single believer. Because once you receive it, it's going to open up a door to you that was not opened beforehand. And I want that door to be opened up for you. I want you to be able to walk through and experience the fullness of God's love, grace, and mercy in Christ Jesus.
Yes, indeed.
So let's look at a couple of passages. I'm going to read a really obscure verse out of Deuteronomy. Don't think about Deuteronomy and forgiveness, you know, in the same sentence. And this particular passage doesn't even mention forgiveness, but it mentions something about what the Lord does in our lives. It says, "The Lord your God will circumcise your hearts." So Moses is talking to the people of Israel, and he's saying to them, be expecting God to do something internally, not externally, but inside. So he says, the Lord will circumcise your hearts and the hearts of your descendants so that they may love him with all their heart and with all their soul and live. So Moses talks about circumcision, that God's going to circumcise the hearts of the people so that they can love the Lord with all their heart, soul, and strength. We're going to fast forward to Colossians chapter 2. It says, you have been given fullness in Christ, who is the head over every power and authority. In him you were also circumcised. So here is this prophecy that Moses gave to the people of Israel. It's found its fulfillment in the work of Jesus Christ, his death, burial, and resurrection. And so we have been circumcised, putting off of the flesh, the sinful nature, not with a circumcision done by the hands of men, but with the circumcision done by Christ. Now, what's the purpose of that? So that we could love the Lord our God with all our heart, our soul, and our mind. That's the purpose of that circumcision. So if you've come to Christ by faith, you've received total forgiveness of sins, your heart has been circumcised so that you now love the Lord. Didn't love the Lord as a lost person, but now through this circumcision done by the Lord Jesus Christ on the heart, the removal of the evil within the sinful nature, we love the Lord our God. So when we talk about total forgiveness of sins, we have to recognize that that's balanced by the fact that God in Jesus has done something inside of us. So this truth about total forgiveness of sins does not make us rebel against the Lord. It doesn't turn our hearts toward the things of this world. It turns our hearts to God himself, to this willingness to walk by faith in him and allow him to lead us and guide us every single step of the way. So if you're fearful that this total forgiveness of sins is going to push you away from God into a rebellious lifestyle, a sinful lifestyle, then you've missed the fact that God does something inside of us. Yeah. He circumcises the heart so that we can love him. And when that is coupled with this total forgiveness of sins, our hearts just love him even more. Mm-hmm. And we don't want to go back and sin. Yeah. We want to be enjoying this new life that we have in Christ, this love that we can experience through faith in him.
And the amazing thing to me is that some folks don't want to hear this message.
That's exactly right.
Absolutely close. Don't confuse me with the facts. My mind's made up. 1-800-677-9377. Calls beginning to come in, but still plenty of room for you. Come in, be a part of this edition. Let's talk about it. 1-800-677-9377.
Let's go to New York and talk with Doris. Hi, Doris. You're listening. Glad to have you on the air today.
Hi. Could you read 1 John 1, verse 9?
If you confess your sins, he is faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and to cleanse you of all unrighteousness. That's what that passage says.
Okay, so I think most people understand that God's redeeming work through his Son has washed our sins away. But because we're still flesh, you know, we can still sin. And I think it's that sin that John is talking about, and Paul also said confessing your sins one to another, because the things that we want to do, we don't do, and the things we don't want to do, we do. So I think people understand about the finished work of Jesus on the cross. It's just the after, okay, we accept that the Holy Spirit is there, like, we still sin. And so I think that's where people wonder about that sin. Which John?
Well, absolutely, Doris. That's why it's such a volatile issue. That's why there's so much talk and discussion and arguing and all of that sort of thing about forgiveness of sins, because we still sin. And so we want to know, has God forgiven that sin? What do we need to do once we commit a sin? All of those sort of things enter into the mix. And I think all of that has to find its foundation in truth. And the truth is that Jesus has already taken away our sins. The truth is if we're in Christ, we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. So we've already been given that gift of grace. It's already ours. It's already in our possession. Now, that doesn't mean we don't confess sins. That doesn't mean we don't agree with God. We certainly are the ones who agree with God concerning our sins. I think it's the lost world that doesn't agree with God. And I think, Doris, when you look at 1 John 1:9, in light of the context, verse 8 and verse 10, I think you get a different picture of what John is trying to communicate. In verse 8, he says, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Right. Now, you can't be a believer and not have the truth in you, because Jesus Christ is the truth. And when you come to him by faith, he comes to live inside of you. And if he's come to live inside of you, guess what else has come to live inside of you? Truth. Mm-hmm. So if you claim to be without sin, you're deceiving yourself and the truth is not in you. Then in verse 10, if we claim we have not sinned, we make him, God, out to be a liar, and his word has no place in our lives. So there were certainly people there back in that day who were saying that they had never sinned. They were also saying that they did not believe that Jesus Christ had come in the flesh. They had some really strange beliefs. And I think John was addressing them in that first chapter, and then in apostolic fashion, extended an invitation to those who were in error concerning their belief to receive Christ and to enter into the true fellowship with God the Father and God the Son. And that's why he says, if we confess our sins, if you who are claiming to be without sin, if you'll come to truth and agree with God concerning your sins, you can do so without fear. Why? Because God is faithful and just. That's who God is. And he's already done something in regards to your sins. And you can receive that forgiveness and be purified from all unrighteousness. And then as he moves into chapter 2, he shifts gears. So he says, now, my dear children, I write this to you. So he was writing to a different group in chapter 1. He shifts gears to my dear children in chapter 2. And he says to us who are believers, if you sin today, you have an advocate, Jesus Christ, the righteous. So we have somebody that speaks on our behalf. And Jesus' blood is always interceding on our behalf. And Jesus' blood is constantly doing his work in our lives. So we can count on that. Again, it's his job, not ours, to keep ourselves clean. Jesus Christ has already done that, and we can count on it. So I think 1 John 1:9 is really a passage to the lost. It is a wonderful evangelistic verse. Those of us who are already in Christ have forgiveness of sins. In him, we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins, as Paul writes in both Ephesians chapter 1 and Colossians chapter 1. We just have to recognize that and thank God for it.
Yeah, well, I recognize that. So thank you for the explanation. But we do have to confess one to another, and I feel good.
That has nothing to do.
When I go in prayer to God, I like to tell God about my sins and ask for forgiveness then. I think that's what people like to do, even though they know.
I don't care what they like to do, Doris, and that's the deal. It's not about us. It's about Christ. What Christ has called us to is resting by faith in him. And I hope you'll grab hold of that. And I hope you'll understand, too, that I personally confess my sins. I agree with God concerning those sins. I go to folks and talk to them about sins. Now, Doris hung up. Why in the world would you do that?
Yeah.
Why would you do that? Here's a brother and sister in Christ talking about, I think, one of the most significant things in the Word of God. But we won't talk about it. Why? Because my mind's already made up. Mm-hmm. Let's listen to what the Word of God has to say.
Traditionalism is very strong.
Yes, it is.
Well, in fact, we agreed with most of what Doris was saying.
Right.
Until she got to the point, well, it just makes me feel better to say it. It's not
right.
about feelings. It's about truth.
It's about truth. What is truth? If we'll grab hold of truth, I guarantee you, we're going to feel really, really good.
But we understand, and we get the picture, that Christ's finished work on the cross is not really finished.
That's kind of what we're saying.
That's exactly
right. If we need more forgiveness, then he didn't complete his work.
Absolutely. Well, friends, I just want to let you know that Bob Christopher's book, Love Is, details the truth about God's love for you, and of course it includes the forgiveness that we have in Christ. A copy of Love Is can be yours today for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel. And to complete your gift and request your copy, simply go online to basicgospel.net. That's basicgospel.net. Or you can call during Central Time office hours and speak with our customer service representative, Billy, 1-800-727-2828. That number again, 1-800-727-2828 during Central Time office hours. Love Is by Bob Christopher. It's what it's all about. Love Is.
Absolutely. And why this is such an important topic to discuss, forgiveness of sins, is because that the cross of Jesus Christ is where God demonstrated his love for us. And if we don't understand what Jesus Christ accomplished through his death on the cross, we will never fully experience the fullness of God's love.
Yeah.
We'll always struggle with it. That was my story.
Mm-hmm.
I never came to a conviction of heart that says, I know that I know that I know God loves me, until I finalized the cross, until I just rested in what Jesus Christ had done for me.
Yeah,
so it's important. It is so important to us.
Yeah.
Indeed.
1-800-677-9377. Time on the clock and open lines for you. 1-800-677-9377.
Let's go talk with Lewis in Hawthorne, New York, listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Lewis.
Yes, hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Certainly.
Listen, I got a couple of past questions for you, and I guess a short comment. The Lord's Prayer, give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our trespasses, you know, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And I'm wondering how that fits in with what you're saying or what you're promoting. And second question is, the radio, this is a new program, I guess, that went on air recently in the New York area anyhow. And I just got to tell you, it sounds an awful lot like Bob George, you know, and he got in trouble for this kind of stuff. I think he got thrown off the air or something. And I like your opinion on that. Thank you.
Yeah. Well, this is the ministry that he founded from years ago, and Lewis is hanging up as well. But as far as the Lord's Prayer is concerned, it says this, forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. And then it goes on. We kind of put a period there, and that's the end of the Lord's Prayer. But it goes on, for if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. So we have a very clear word that was given by Jesus that was basically saying that your forgiveness is forgiveness of sins from God is contingent upon your willingness to forgive others. Well, as we move forward into the New Testament, we see, for example, in Ephesians 4:32, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Okay? So there's a difference. Those two statements contradict one another. One says that for you to be forgiven, you have to forgive someone else. The next statement says that you should forgive others because you have already been forgiven by God in Christ. So which is true? Which one do we lean into? Which one do we take as kind of the guide for daily living? Well, I think we've got to take the statement in Ephesians. Why? Because something happened between the time Paul wrote Ephesians 4 and the time Jesus Christ gave the Lord's Prayer. What happened was the cross, the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And through that death, Jesus ushered in a brand new covenant, a covenant in which God remembers our sins no more, a covenant in which sins have been forgiven, and where these have been forgiven, there's no longer any sacrifice for sin. So today we live in a new covenant, and this new covenant has total forgiveness of sins as a part of it. That's what we celebrate when we take the Lord's Supper, when we drink the cup. It's the cup of the new covenant. What are we celebrating? The total forgiveness of sins that we have in Christ Jesus. So that's the difference between the old covenant that we read about in the Lord's Prayer and this new covenant that we see that was ushered in and ratified by the blood of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
So in this new covenant, we have total forgiveness of sins. But not only do we have total forgiveness of sins, we have new life in Christ. Mm-hmm. Something has happened to us inside, and we've been made new in Jesus.
Well, we seem to have kicked the hornet's nest.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Well, let's talk to Frank in New York. Hi, Frank.
Hello, gentlemen. Thank you. God bless you.
And you as well.
I don't really think you're preaching the correct gospel, and let me tell you why. Virtually all the early church fathers believed in the concept of mortal sin. That states that a man can lose his salvation after he's saved. Ignatius of Antioch wrote about it in his letter to the Ephesians in the year 110 A.D., and this man was a pupil of the Apostle John. Justin Martyr wrote about it in his Against Heresies in 156 A.D.
So, Frank, you believe that we can lose salvation, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, well, I don't believe that, and I don't think the Word of God teaches that. I mean, you're free to believe what you want, and you've done your study, you've done your research, I've done study, I've done research. I think the Word of God is very clear that once we're saved, we're saved. And the reason I say that is because I truly believe the work of Christ was complete. That His blood... And let me ask you this, Frank. You know, I'm sure you're going to say we have free will, we can walk away, we can make a choice. Would you ever choose to walk away?
I, as we're speaking now and today, no.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I mean, next week I could become an axe murderer. I don't know what the future is going to hold.
Yeah. Well, Frank,
all these church fathers, and that's why they're called the church fathers. They were the early bishops of the church.
Yeah, but I'd rather put stock in the apostles. I mean, we've got the Bible. There's great writings, but you got the Bible. And people can, you know, there's all kinds of things in church history with the various people that have written and the leaders of the church. There's all kinds of disagreements from the very beginning. That's why we just have to keep going back to what the Word of God says and trust the Holy Spirit to open up our hearts and minds to know what's being communicated to us. And I believe the Holy Spirit will do that. Well, Frank, thanks for your call today. We certainly appreciate it.
Yeah, and thanks to everyone for joining us today. We want to remind you that Basic Gospel is a totally listener-supported ministry on the air every day with the truth of God's grace and love. For your generous gift to the ministry, we have a really great book for you. It's by Bob Christopher. It's called Love Is, and it will show you that God is love. But what does God's love look like? How does God express His love to us? And how does God's love impact our lives every day? It's all there in Love Is. Yours today for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel. You know, more than anything else, God wants you to know that He loves you and that He loves you right now. God's love, rely on it, abide in it, and you'll learn that God's love never fails. Love Is by Bob Christopher for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel. Again, at basicgospel.net or 1-800-727-2828 during Central Time office hours. Again, that number, 1-800-727-2828. You know, at Basic Gospel, we're all into social media. We use it, and we hope you do, too. And if you do, we hope you'll like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter, at Basic Gospel RDO. For those of you listening online, we encourage you to stay tuned, because after a five-minute break, we'll pick up with part two of today's edition of Basic Gospel. We'd love for you to join us on that. Now for Bob and Richard and all the staff, Bob Davis, inviting you to join us again tomorrow at the same time for another live edition of Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.